connecting to its strength and stability. Becoming aware of your diaphragm, your belly as it rises and falls. Breathing in the strength and stability of the earth and your ancestors. And breathing out your suffering, their suffering. Allowing it to be transformed. And when your mind wanders, which it may, notice that it's wandered, and gently, kindly, without judgment, return your attention to your solid posture. Sitting here, supported by the earth, supported by Sangha, and your volition to transform suffering. Where is your mind now? If it's wandered, notice it's wandered. Smile and gently, without judgment, bring your awareness back to this body, this moment. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, just follow the breath. Dwell in the present moment. Keep coming back to the present moment. Paying attention to your body. Being kind and gentle to your body. breath. Sitting with your ancestors' back. Sitting with your ancestors' resilience. So, dear friends, we now have about 20 minutes or so for reflections and instructions. I think I'm going to go more for reflections.
Whatever you like.
The touching of the earth, which we practice together, if practiced over a period of time, can help us realize the nature of interbeing. Interbeing isn't in the Oxford English Dictionary. It was developed by a Vietnamese Zen master who wanted to help us understand that everything is connected, and understand it not just in our head, which a lot of us, like, I suppose, intellectually will get, but in our heart, for us to truly, truly understand the nature of interbeing. So, he looked at the word being, and he thought if he put the prefix inter to interbeing, it would offer a word that he wanted some of his students to realize, truly realize, not just intellectually realize. Realize that we are all one. And for me that's very easy when I'm sitting amongst friends on the path in this calm atmosphere that we're already creating. However, when I am taking action, I'm in a prison, I am taking some action about the planet, so I'm in the center of the storm, then it might be a little bit challenging for me to see the businessman, the politician, the prison officer as somebody that is me. Yes, I can intellectually get it. However, my heart isn't always open to it. So touching the earth, letting go of our views, our ideas, and just being with the earth that can transform all suffering, over time allows me to speak in a skilled, compassionate, understanding way with people that might trigger some of my old habit energies, some self-disclosure. I used to be a soldier, and the anger, the seeds of anger in me were watered a great deal. So how can I deal and take action without those strong seeds of anger coming up and influencing my behavior? I think I can't always do it by my head alone. My heart has to open. My heart has to be compassionate. And realizing that I am the businessman, realizing that I am the person that's cutting the forest down, realizing that I am burning the trees, and I am that person, the frog looking for the insect, and the insect at the same time, allows me to be a little bit more understanding and a little bit more compassionate. However, to sometimes get to that stage, I did say sometimes, I think I have to be compassionate to myself, truly, truly compassionate to myself. And that means not just to this body, but to my ancestors also. My mum and dad are my ancestors. And the slaves that from Jamaica are my ancestors. And Africans are my ancestors. All of those ancestors I must make peace with and understand in order that I can develop some real self-compassion, some reconciliation within myself, in order to be able to have an open heart with other friends on the path and some people that I might have difficulty with. I think I'm going to invite a bell or ask. Thay says that to offer compassion to yourself or to someone else, there must be understanding at the heart of it. So without understanding, it's going to be difficult to be compassionate. The two go together. So for example, a few years ago, I wished to help offer mindfulness to some refugees in central Manchester that had come from Syria. For many years I'd worked within local government and within large health authorities, and had picked up the ways of local government and bureaucracy. However, I wanted to reach out and offer compassion to some people that had suffered a great deal, and there was no trust. There was no trust in the health service or local government, which I had learnt the ways of. So as much as I wished to offer compassion, I believed that I might remind them, I might trigger some of their fear, some of their mistrust of the health authorities, the local authorities that really could offer them some things. But I would remind them of that, and I wouldn't be able to connect them and offer them some support. So it was up to me to understand that some of my friends-to-be had a different perception of time, of space, of position, of what you did say and what you didn't say, how you said it, the tone of voice. And the only way I could really understand was to be with, was to interbe with. So I let go of my ideas, of my thoughts, of what I wanted to do. And I just drank tea with them. I laughed with them. I washed the dishes to wash the dishes with them. And after a while, I would get a smile. People would sit with me. And together, as Kirsten has said, we co-produced a sangha, a community that practice mindfulness, And I don't think I could have done that without taking the time to interbe, to really understand. To really, really understand. Not with my head, not from just reading the books and the research, important, but something else needed to shift within me, something else needed to open before I could really co-create an environment, some practice that would relieve some of the suffering of trauma. And I suspect that is what I must do to the politicians that I still see are hurting the planet, and to some of my colleagues in prisons. So I'm going to ask my dear friend Kirsten if there's any reflections or observations you have about the practice or some of the sharing that I've offered.
I really would like to hear more from you, actually.
Okay, my dear friend. Compassion is the second of the four immeasurable minds. The first is love or loving kindness. The second is compassion. The third is joy. And the fourth is equanimity. Some commentators say equanimity. Some say non-discrimination. And of course, because there is interbeing, without one you can't have the other. So love or loving kindness, compassion, which goes with understanding, you can't have compassion without understanding, joy and equanimity or non-discrimination, are key to offering compassion. Along with compassion, there's courage, of course. However, it's really important if we don't want to burn out as activists or as people that offer their hearts to causes or to people that are suffering, it's really important that we don't burn ourselves out. And how can we do this? How can we go into the heat of the fire with courage, offering compassion without burning ourselves out? One is joy. So the typical Buddhist example of joy is you're walking in the desert. You see an oasis of water because you haven't had a drink for a while. And automatically joy comes, but it's in your head. It's in your head. It's only when you get to the oasis, and it is an oasis, it's not, you haven't just made it up, and you immerse yourself in the oasis, that true happiness comes. So you have joy and happiness. And these energies I find very helpful when I'm in the fire of suffering. My own suffering, or in environments where there are a great deal of suffering, which I choose to place myself in, with an open heart, with an open heart. Thich Nhat Hanh Thai says, in our study or in our workplace, it's important to get a yellow sticker, put it on our wall with the words, "Are you sure?" Are you sure? And to me, the joy and the happiness and "Are you sure?" are really helpful ways for me to keep my equilibrium, to see things from the top of the mountain rather than halfway up it. When I'm a little forgetful at home with my wife or my daughter or grandson now, I see things from halfway up the mountain. When I'm a little bit forgetful, when I'm not forever watchful, when I'm not forever watchful. Ever watchful of what? Ever watchful of my habit energies, of those habits that come up and cause disharmony within me, with the ones that I love, and in places of suffering when the chips are down. So I find it really important to take mindfulness out of the meditation hall. So when I leave here on Thursday, to take this, to take the support of the Sangha, this energy that we're co-creating, and take it out with me. Take it out with my walking. So being present. Not, okay, this is ordinary, but I can come back to the present moment every step I take and be present for that suffering. Be present for my habit energies of mine or my ancestors. So I can be free, and I can offer that freedom to places, to problems, to projects where there is great suffering. Because if I don't, then I'm making judgments halfway up the mountain, not fully present, not with joy in my heart, not with happiness in my heart, not with love, understanding, or compassion in my heart. And if I don't have that love and compassion in my heart, people will see it. The reason I love working in jail is because I can't fool them with all my training and academic knowledge. They'll look into my eye and they'll see if I'm just using words that I've read or learnt, or if I'm giving them my heart. And my job is to gain the truth, because so many people that I work with have lost trust in themselves, lost trust in the system, lost trust in everyone. So the only way that I can interconnect, because it's two-way, is to be open and honest with myself and with whoever I'm interacting with, which means an open heart, not just a clever head. And sometimes when I'm not at my best, my habit energies have got a little bit too much, got the better of me, then probably it's best not to go into that environment. About even 12 years ago, I don't think I could have worked in secure services and prisons offering mindfulness, because I would have been triggered. My old habit energies of anger and irritation, of course based on fear, would have been triggered. So it wasn't the time. So I think I have to choose my time to be in certain environments. As a young man, with a family, and with a stronger ego than I have now, I wanted to work my way up the chain in order partly to provide, but partly it was my ego. However, sometimes I would push myself so hard and put myself in environments that I wasn't ready to be in with an open heart. Yes, with my intellect I could cope, and with the old army training of pushing through, of pushing through. I could do it, but not with an open heart and joy. And that had a major impact on my family life, which needed a great deal of reconciliation for the pain and the suffering that that lack of awareness, driven by my ego, partly caused. So I would implore you to please take care to work at opening your heart, not just with your head, but with whatever practice works for you. I offered the three earth touchings. It happens to be one that's worked for me, to truly open my heart, not just my head. And when you can smile, go into those environments with joy and happiness and less chance of burnout. That's it. So, dear friends, in a couple of minutes, I'll invite the bell, and we'll have an opportunity to continually return to the present moment with walking meditation. And that will be for 45 minutes. Before we return for a 45-minute sit. Please be kind to yourself as you're walking, and please come back to the present when your mind wanders, which it will. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a bit ordinary. I know, I'll think about this. Ah, spotted. Back to the walking. Oh, I've been doing this for 15 minutes. I know, I put my hands in my pockets and I admit. Ah, it's just a thought. Back to the walking. With diligence, with energy, with determination. In order to end suffering. In order to transform the suffering of your ancestors, of you, of the environments that you go into, of your family, of your descendants, some of them that aren't here yet. Just keep coming back to us that, oh, I'm fed up of this. What have I signed up for this for? Oh, it's just a thought. Back to the steps. Back to the steps. Energy. Diligence, courage, compassionate heart, transforming suffering. Enjoy. I'll invite it.